Welcome back to the Stage Right Side. You cannot see this in the podcast, but my cat, Mrs. Fluffbottoms, is sitting on my lap right now, purring up a storm. Let me see if I can get some audio. I hope you can hear that because it's the damn cutest thing ever. So this week, we're just rehearsing and we're getting ready for our tour. And we're going to be doing Chris Wheeldon's Winter's Tale based on the Shakespeare play. And I play Polixenes, who is, it's a tale of a jealous man flying into a rage and, you know, beating everybody and ordering everyone to be murdered, what have you. It's nonsense. And, nothing that couldn't be fixed with a little bit of communication. Maybe Hermione and Leontes just need to talk about having an open relationship. And the real kicker is she didn't even cheat on him. You know, he just imagined the whole thing because he was so insecure. So we're doing that at a theater that must not be named. We started back to work last week, and on the first day of work, I did so much dancing, and then my back promptly went into spasm, and I was in a lot of pain for about a week. And I was worried. I was like, oh my gosh, is this more serious than just a back spasm? What's going on? Perhaps, I don't even want to say, you know, if it's something scary. And, it's already feeling better. So I'm happy about that. I was really stressed for a couple of days. I was like, what did I do? Jesus. So my schedule has been like a little bit lighter this week, which has been really luxurious. Today I did class and went to the gym and spent some time with some friends at the studios. We have a Nintendo Switch set up in the lounge. So we were playing video games in the lounge during lunch today. It was very fun. And then tonight, I'm going over to Isabella Boylston's apartment to watch. I haven't seen this movie. It's called Free Solo. It's a documentary about a person climbing some mountain or something without gear. And this same person is going to climb a building in Taipei. It's not really my bag, but she's very interested. So she's going to make Japanese curry and we're going to watch that. I'm like, is this ethical? Like this person's going to climb a building, but if he falls, he just dies? Like we're just going to watch that on TV? It seems like it shouldn't exist, but I really hope he's getting his bag, sis. And that his life insurance policy is popping woof for his family. Wild. What else is going on? I have started doing this really unhinged New Yorker thing where you board the subway, you get on the subway, and there's room for three people to sit down between poles, basically. And something that really has been driving me crazy lately is people put their bags on the bench so that nobody can sit down or that only one other person could sit down. So last week there was a guy who had his backpack on the bench, and I said, "May I sit down, please?" And I sort of gestured in a sort of balletic way with my hand, and he pretended to ignore me. And I asked him again, "May I sit down, please?" And he didn't move. So I sort of sat on his lap, like, not fully like square on, but you know, I made a big show of being like, okay, since you're not moving over, I'm going to sit on your left leg or whatever. And then he looked at me just incredulous. And I said, you know, there'll be more room if you just move your bag off the bench. which is completely unhinged. Who knows? Like I could get my ass beat. And then this week there was a young lady who had her purse on her lap. She had a cute little like Fendi purse. And then next to her, she had a computer bag. And once again, I asked politely, may I sit down, please? I have my Kindle in my hand. I'm like, I'm ready to get into a book, you know? And she also ignored me and I asked again. And so I sat on, I sat on her lap and she had a very different reaction. She pretended not to notice. And so we rode for about 30 to 35 minutes from Brooklyn to Union Square. And she was so loyal to herself and not moving and not putting her bag on her lap. And I was so loyal to myself. So I took out my book and just read with like one butt cheek on this poor woman. I sound completely unhinged because I am. New York makes you unhinged. It was exciting. And then I got off the train and I thought, well, no wonder I have a back spasm. I'm sitting like sideways on the train. I'm doing side saddle train riding. I just thought that was a fun tale I wanted to share with you. I also want to talk about some books that I have finished and have started. I just finished, it's called Actress of a Certain Age, and it's by Jeff Hiller, who's an actor in Somebody Somewhere, which is a wonderful show on HBO. I really recommend it. He stars opposite Bridget Everett, who's fabulous, and is so sweet and beautiful, and I really love that show. And his memoir, it's like a memoir and essay, is like, it's sort of the same vibe that I did my book, you know, whatever. And it's very funny, very sweet. I find him very interesting and relate to a lot of his sort of ideas about performing and art and all that good stuff. I really enjoyed it. Very fun. It's called Actress of a Certain Age. Finally finished the Rhyrea Revelations fantasy trilogy. I really enjoyed that as well. I wouldn't say it's like top tier fantasy, but I really enjoyed it. I was held captive, shall we say. Also started Gates of Fire by Stephen Pressfield, I believe his name is. It's historical fiction based on the Battle of Thermopylae, which is the, you know, like, you know, for Sparta. I think it's what 300 is based on, if I am correct. I don't actually know that. Don't quote me on that. But that is interesting. I also like, I need to do some more research because I'm very curious about the dynamic between these Greek warriors and their like little squires. They all have like young boys that are their squires, and they're not talking about it in this book, but I've heard that they had some interesting relationships back in the day. Gay, and also not. So go figure. What else? I started another, I'm doing an audiobook version of a book called Leaders Eat Last, which is a fascinating tale of, you know, leadership and the qualities of leaders. And it's told through various stories about companies and individuals. And I find it really interesting and inspiring. So if you anticipate or want to be a better leader among people, I think this is a great one to read or listen to. It's called Leaders Eat Last. My friend Nate suggested it to me. He's an executive at Tishman Speyer, which is a real estate development company. And he is a leader, and I am not, but I still find it interesting. This week, I posted what are they called? Like an essay or a post on Substack. It was the second part of the Nutcracker sort of serialization that I've been working on. The first one was about my years as a child in the Hartford Ballet, Nutcracker, when I was, you know, 12 years old or so. And then this second part is all about my time at Boston Ballet, specifically about my time as the famous bear. In the Boston Ballet Nutcracker, there's a bear. You'll get it. So on my Substack, this article is actually a paid article. So you can read like half of it and then the rest is behind a paywall. But as a little fun thing for Stage Right Side listeners, I'm going to read you the whole darn thing because I think it's funny. Hold, please. 31 Years a Nutcracker Prince, Part 2. Boston Ballet. The Nutcracker's a Real Bear, 2002 to 2012. And there's a photo of me in my Nutcracker outfit with my like big paper mache head on. It's by Rosalie O'Connor, a fabulous dance photographer who has been photographing me since I was, I think, 15 years old in the ABT summer course. She has like an insane amount of photos of me and other well-known dancers around the world. So check out her website. She has a sub heading called Just Kids. And it's like a huge portfolio of work of all of your favorite dancers over the last, whatever, 20 years. It's really interesting. I think it's rosalieo'connor.com. All right, back into the essay. I had just turned 18 when I joined Boston Ballet. I hadn't even finished high school yet. I completed it via a mail-in GED program called the American School, which was a complete farce. Every test was open book, there weren't any teachers, and it was giving 1 + 1 = 2. This was pre-internet schooling, mind you, so everything had to be sent via snail mail, which took forever, not to mention the hellscape that is the United States Post Office. My schooling aside, I joined Boston Ballet in August of 2002 as an apprentice. There were around 10 of us. The very first ballet I ever danced in a professional company was Sir Frederick Ashton's La Fille Malgardée, which translates roughly to She a Baddie. I played a farmer in the corps de ballet, and here I have a photo from when I was 18 years old with my former colleague in the apprentice program. Her name is Stephanie Wagaman. Look how gay I look. Isn't it divine? My makeup was truly zebra stripes. The second ballet I ever danced professionally was none other than the Nutcracker. In Boston Ballet, we danced Mikko Niskanen's version of the Marius Petipa classic. It's an absolutely fantastic production. To this day, I still adore watching it. In Act 1, the company tends to cast more senior corps dancers as party parents. Conversely, the roles of the grandparents are often played by 17 and 18-year-olds. And there I was, fresh out of my one and only year of ballet boarding school in Virginia, painted to look like an 85-year-old, making my professional Nutcracker debut. I wore a gray wig, small spectacles, and mutton chops as I animatedly hobbled around the stage, obviously not an actual old person. The grandparents' dances played for comedy. We bumbled and buffooned. We limped and shook. We hunched and shook our fists at party children. The dance ends with us falling down. Is it offensive? Maybe. I don't know. I'd wager an actual old person doesn't care. I thought it was hilarious. Still do. Then there's a photo of me as said grandparent with a former soloist in the company named Melanie Atkins. My breakout role as an apprentice came in the form of the bear. Most apprentices performed this role, and it was as it was below the dignity of full-blown corps de ballet members. I, however, lived for it. The costume is an enormous full-body suit of caramel brown tulle, complete with mittens for paws and a cute little stubby tail. The real bear of the bear costume, though, is the head, a gigantic round helmet that is literally cranked onto your skull like a construction helmet. A hard plastic band runs under your chin, cutting off your air supply while simultaneously jamming into your Adam's apple. In Dorit Kelmsley's voice, really very chic. In Act 1, Clara's mysterious godfather, Drosselmeyer, brings out large gift boxes containing human dolls. They perform a cute Harlequin and Columbine dance referencing the style of Commedia dell'arte, and then back into the boxes they go. After that, another box rolls out, and inside is a bear? Yes, a bear. Usually this section of Tchaikovsky's score is danced by some sort of toy soldier. It's militaristic. It's a militaristic marching tune, but in Mikko Niskanen's version, it's a gigantic dancing bear. When I tell you that the sugar plum fairy ain't shit compared to the bear, I'm not joking. The audience loses their mind for this bear. Not only is the costume the cutest thing you've ever seen, the actual dance is a straight-up banger. Split jumps, turns in second, coffee grinders, and here's where I really made my mark. A gosh-darned honest-to-God aerial cartwheel. Apropos of nothing, here is a photo of me doing an aerial cartwheel at the Statue of Liberty. You know, proof that I can do one, and also chic, TBH. And there truly is a photo of me doing an aerial cartwheel under Lady Liberty in the year 1903. I feel like the bear, for me, was the first time I got to show that I had what I call the will of the warrior, which is an essential component of a successful career in classical ballet. I was wearing a massive bear head that sat a full foot above my actual face and still insisted on doing the aerial cartwheel. I believe as I was the first dancer to attempt this, but not the last. A number of subsequent jazzarinas have carried on my heavy bear mantle of aerial cartwheel chaos. Whoa, what a mouthful. And then there's a cute little picture of me doing a split jump in the bear costume when I was 18 years old in Boston Ballet. I don't know who took this photo, and I wish I did. Enough self-congratulation. In Boston Ballet, we performed about 45 nutcrackers each season, often culminating in a New Year's Eve performance with nutty elements, hidden Santas, gender-swapped casting, and confetti cannons at the end. The orchestra would play Auld Lang Syne as glittering confetti fell from the ceiling of the Boston Opera House. It was a real event, you know, reminiscent of life before Grindr and Netflix. Over my 10-year tenure, I had the great and humbling opportunity to perform the following roles in Boston Ballet's Nut: lamplighter, chestnut vendor, grandfather, party parent, doll, bear, mouse, mouse king, snow king, Spanish man, Arabian man, Chinese man, oof, marzipan man, Russian man, mother ginger, yes queen, and of course, the Nutcracker Prince himself. The only male role I've never danced is Drosselmeyer. Never say never. I loved dancing Boston Ballet's Nutcracker. It's seriously an amazing production and incredibly festive for the season. If you're a New Englander and haven't seen it, make it your new holiday tradition. You can thank me later. And, you know, this is not a paid ad for the Boston Ballet Nutcracker. I just really believe it is such a festive thing for the holidays, and it's really beautiful. The article finishes with a picture by Jean Chavon, another well-known ballet photographer, and it's of Herman Cornejo's sister and myself. Her name is Erica Cornejo, and it's so fun that I've worked with both of the Cornejo siblings in various companies. Very cool. I danced with her a lot. We did all sorts of things together. She's an amazing dancer. And I also danced with her husband in Hartford Ballet when I was a child. Her husband was an ABT soloist named Carlos Molina. And before he joined American Ballet Theatre, he was in Hartford Ballet when I was a child. And it's a wild, small world of ballet. Also, we danced at the Wang Theater in Boston, which hilariously is called the Wang Theater. And I remember it was a beautiful, big old theater, and I loved dancing there. And we were there for a couple of years before it was, they basically kicked out the Nutcracker to make room for more commercial things. Like, I think the year that we got kicked out, it was the Grinch that took our spot. And then subsequent years, it was the Rockettes. I think there's like a touring Rockettes show that would go to the Wang. And then we got kicked out to the Colonial Theater. And I'll never forget, as dancers, we have union dressers at these theaters. And they help us get in and out of costumes because they're hard to get in and out of. There are a lot of moving parts. Hooks, eyes, zippers, tabs, pulls, buttons, you name it. And I'm going to do my best Boston accent here, but there was a woman named Carol, and then Patty. There was Patty, and there was Barbara. Patty famously had this sort of like old-timey transatlantic Boston accent, and she would tell a story and punctuate it always with, "And we laughed, and we laughed." And so it was very fun for us Boston Ballet twinks to repeat, "And we laughed." I still say it to this day. Another woman, Barbara, may she rest, she was a dresser, and she was a very, very old woman, sweet as pie, unbelievably kind and lovely. And she was always in charge of the bears. So she would help us put the head on and crank the little helmet thing and put all the snaps so that, you know, it wouldn't come up and you wouldn't see human neck. Ew. But she had this tick where she would she would do this funny little breathing thing where she'd be like all up in your business, like truly in your face and then behind you, just doing it was wild, but sweet as pie. And then Carol was also a really sweet dresser. I don't know, she's probably still working at the Opera House, and I adored her. And I miss those sweet dressers. Now, we have our dressers at the Met and at the Coke Theater, and they're amazing too. But I do miss those ladies, those Bostonian broads. They were funny and like crass without being gross, you know? It wasn't like nasty gay talk. It was like sassy lady talk. I really loved it. What other stories can I tell you about the Boston Ballet Nutcracker? Goodness gracious, there are so many. Oh my God. As the prince, I remember we would, between act one and two, we would fly away in a big hot air balloon. And it was me and the little girl, Clara. And it's so awkward. I'm like in my 20s or whatever. And then there's a little girl like stuck with me. We'd have to fly up in the balloon for, I don't know, like 10 minutes before the actual act started. And so we'd be up there and I'd be like, "Are you having a good show?" Ha ha ha. You know, she's like, "Yeah." And silence. It's just so awkward. What else? Oh my gosh. Yeah, I did really every role. And I look back at some of the photos and I'm like, oh my God, unacceptable. Oh, I remember also a really good story about, we were doing a show where it was like a school show basically, but it was a regular matinee, but they had invited the public schools. And there, I was doing Arabian with former Boston Ballet principal dancer Kathleen Breen Combs. And we were in the middle of our Arabian dance. We're supposed to be sultry, sexy, whatever. We hear this screaming from the audience like, "Ah! Ah! Ah!" And we're just doing our dance, whatever. On either side of the stage, there were little staircases up to the stage. Most theaters have this. It's normal. But a little girl runs onto the stage screaming. "Ah! Ah!" Runs onto the stage during Arabian. We don't really know what to do. We just keep doing our dance and hope that someone will, you know, usher her off stage. She runs into one of the wings, screaming all the while. People are chasing her in the backstage area. Then she runs back onto the stage and runs all the way down to the orchestra pit, stops inches from the orchestra pit. She stops screaming. She's just looking down into the orchestra pit. It's a very like, is she going to jump from there kind of scenario? And where I'm like, I have Kathleen in like an upside down split lift or something. And I don't know what to do. I'm like, do I stop the dance? Do I put my partner down and like run and grab this girl? What do I do? And then all of a sudden, one of the Russian guys, Christian Squires, runs out and scoops this girl up and carries her off stage, waving to the audience. Everyone screams in the audience, like claps, screaming. Meanwhile, we're still in character doing like a sexy dance. Ridiculous. Nonsense. Thank you so much for joining me on the Stage Right Side. I hope you have the most beautiful week and weekend. It's going to snow in New York City. What a life we lead. All right. Mwah. See you next time on the Stage Right Side. Make sure to follow me at James B. Whiteside on Instagram and TikTok. That's James B. Whiteside. And don't forget to click the link in my bio to purchase tickets for upcoming performances or to buy my book, Center Center, a funny, sexy, sad, almost memoir of a boy in ballet. Enjoy!